I know just now you read from a portion of the Bible, which is sounds very difficult to read, right? So Brother Christian, he read through the 26 verses, and I'm not going to cover everything, but I just want to show you, there's this person in the Bible called Solomon, and I just want to show you a bit about this person's life. And you know, all of us here might not be called Solomon, all of us here might not become like Solomon. But yet, we all have traits of Solomon in our lives, and that's what I want to focus on today. So, in the book of Ecclesiastes chapter 2, we find that this was a chapter that Solomon actually wrote at the end of his life. So it's like, imagine if you're an old man at 80 years of age, and then you look back at your life and you're like, okay, you know, this is what has happened, and I just write it down, and these are the thoughts of Solomon. And you can see that there is this word within Ecclesiastes chapter 2, which keeps on coming up. And this word is vanity. It says, vanity of vanities, all is vanity. And what does vanity mean? Vanity means that it's meaningless. Like, life is meaningless. And why does Solomon say that life is meaningless? Is life truly meaningless for us today? And that's the question that I want you to think about as we explore the entire chapter. So, if we looked into the life of Solomon at 80 years of age, he actually started out very well. So Solomon started out as the son of David, and he grew up in great riches under David. And if you were here for the 10 a.m. service, you would have heard what Pastor Paul said, that David was a very handsome man. Bathsheba was a very beautiful woman. And of course, Solomon was a very handsome man. He was gifted in many talents. He was gifted by God in many things. And it is a tragic thing because we see in Ecclesiastes chapter 2, what a waste of his life that could have been. Because what he says at the end of his life, even though how talented he is, how gifted he was, is that vanity of vanities. Life is meaningless itself. And as we ourselves here, we have life ahead of us. We may not know when God is going to call us home. But in this short life on earth, how are we going to spend our time? Are we going to, at the end of the day, at 80 years of age, be like Solomon and say that, was our life meaningless? And that's something we explore today. So Solomon himself, there were four things which he mentions in Ecclesiastes chapter 2, that although we do not fully do it in our lives, because maybe not all of us have the capacity to do it, maybe all of us do not have the money that Solomon has, all of us doesn't have the intelligence that Solomon has, or has the beauty or the handsomeness that Solomon has. We may not have all these things, but we have the same heart as Solomon. We desire these things in our hearts. And I just want to show you four things that Solomon has pursued and what he said at the end of the day. So the first thing that Solomon has pursued is pleasure. And if you look at Ecclesiastes chapter 2, verse 1, and if you turn there on the screen, and it says here, I said in my heart, go to now, I will prove thee with mirth. Therefore, enjoy pleasure. And behold, this also is vanity. And here, what we see is that Solomon here pursues pleasure. He says, I want to pursue pleasure in my life. And in verse 2, it says, I said of laughter. He wants to pursue laughter. In verse 3, it says, I sought in mine heart to give myself unto wine. He seeks to find the best wines, be a connoisseur of it, to find pleasure in these things. And then in verse 4, it says, I made me great works, I built me houses, I planted me vineyards. All these things that he does, it does give pleasure, right? When you make money here in Singapore, you send it back to the Philippines to provide for a family, you build a house there, you build a business there, this gives you pleasure in life. And this is what Solomon is actually doing here. Verse 5, I made me gardens and orchards, and I planted trees in them of all kinds of fruits. And it's a good thing, right? You know, planting these things, seeing them grow, it's like you bring the money back and buy a farm in Philippines, and then growing it, having cattle, having all these corn and maize, and then selling it away. These things are good. And in verse 6 it says, I made me pools of water to water therewith the wood that bringeth forth trees. And you might think that when Solomon actually mentions these things, it sounds very normal, right? Very pleasurable. Things that we have in our lives that are supposed to be there. Why does he say that it is meaningless? And we see that the reason why he says it's meaningless, right, is because if you learn to turn to 1 Kings chapter 10, verse 4 to 8, and I just want to have it on the screen. 1 Kings chapter 10, verses 4 to 8. And it says here in 1 Kings chapter 10, verse 4 to 8. Is it on the screen? Okay, I'll just read it out for you, okay? All right, so if you turn your Bibles to 1 Kings chapter 10, verses 4 to 8, it says here, "And when the queen of Sheba had seen all Solomon's wisdom, and the house that he had built, and the meat of his table, and the sitting of his servants, and the attendance of his ministers, and their apparel, and his cupbearers, and his accent by which he went up into the house of the Lord, there was no more spirit in her." So we see here that there was this queen in Sheba, and she was actually a very wealthy queen. And she went to Solomon's house and she saw that Solomon had so many things. He had people ministering to him. He saw the state of his house. It's like going to the Istana today, which is like where the president is of Singapore stays, and then you look at how grand it is, and then you look at how beautiful it is. And this is what the Queen of Sheba is feeling here. And it says in verse 5 that when she saw this, there was no more spirit in her. It's as if like she felt that, you know, in comparison to Solomon, I have nothing in this world. And then it says in verse 6, "And she said to the king, it is a true report that I heard in mine own land of thy acts and of thy wisdom. Howbeit, I believed not the words until I came, and mine eyes had seen it. And behold, the half was not told me. Thy wisdom and prosperity exceedeth the fame which I heard." And it is to the point where when the queen of Sheba comes to Solomon's house, and she hears that, wow, Solomon has a lot of riches. Solomon is really wise. But when she sees it for herself, she realizes that what she sees is even greater than what she has heard. And this is what we see of the pleasures of Solomon. Solomon built all these things for pleasure. Solomon built these things for pleasure such that when other people saw these pleasure, they were like, wow, this is the greatest pleasure that can even be done in this world. And this is what Solomon has done. And you might ask yourself then back to the question, why does he say that it is vanity? Why does he say that it is meaningless? And before that, I just want to talk about another thing. So the first thing is pleasure. The second thing that Solomon was trying to fulfill in his life was knowledge. And if you go to Ecclesiastes chapter 1, verses 16 or 17, you would find that within this short passage there, Solomon was not just a person who sought pleasure in his life. And pleasure doesn't mean it's a bad thing, right? Pleasure means that he actually sought to build things, give to people, build houses for people, and so on. And we see that he tried to seek knowledge here, and in Ecclesiastes chapter 1, verses 16 to 17, if I could have it on the screen as well, you would find that it says in verse 16, "I commune with mine heart, saying, Lo, I have come to great estate, and have gotten more wisdom than all they that have been before me in Jerusalem. Yea, my heart had great experience of wisdom and knowledge. And I gave my heart to know wisdom and to know madness and folly. I perceive that this also is vexation of spirit." And you ask yourself again, why does Solomon think that, you know, after he studies so much and he knows so much about the world, having so much great wisdom, why does he say that it is still vanity and vexation of spirit? It's a very strange thing. Imagine if today you have made money in Singapore, you bring it back to your family in the Philippines, your son, your daughter studies hard, does well, and has a PhD. Or maybe goes to take a degree, take a master's and PhD. It is a good thing. But why does Solomon here say that knowledge and wisdom is a vexation of spirit? It is meaningless. It's a bit weird, right, for him to say that. And before I come to the answer, let's look at another thing. The third thing that Solomon actually has pursued. And Solomon here pursues not just pleasure, not just knowledge, but also companionship, friends. And here we see that he pursued something called women in his life. And this is something which besets many men. And Solomon here pursued it in a great way, such that he not only had one wife, but he had several wives and many concubines. And if you turn to 1 Kings chapter 11, verse 1, you would really see how the extent of it. And if you go to 1 Kings chapter 11, verse 1, it says, "But King Solomon loved many strange women, together with the daughter of Pharaoh, women of the Moabites, Ammonites, Edomites, Zidonites, and Hittites, of the nations, and then of the nations concerning which the Lord said unto the children of Israel, Ye shall not go in unto them, neither shall they come in unto you, for surely they will turn away your heart after these gods. Solomon clave unto these in love." And we see here that Solomon is a very passionate man. You see that how he is passionate pursuing after pleasure, pleasure in wine, pleasure in also building things for people. He was passionate in how he sought knowledge and passionate even in how he loved women. And the extent of women he loved is in countries. Yeah, that's the extent of it, right? Moabites, Ammonites, Edomites, Zenonites, and Hittites. That's the extent of which he actually pursued them. And we see that Solomon pursued these things with much great pleasure. And we see that after the end of his life, he also said that it's vexation of spirit. And why does he say that? Because if you turn to Proverbs chapter 7, we see that in Proverbs chapter 7, it's where Solomon actually writes certain parts of his wisdom. And the funny thing is that even though he actually writes them down, he doesn't practice it. So it says that, you know, I shouldn't have gone after these women. I shouldn't have pursued after so many of them. But yet, he still goes ahead and does it. And if you see Proverbs chapter 7, the entire Proverbs chapter 7 here is about how the strange woman itself that he has pursued led him astray. And he gives advice to his children and to people who read the book of Proverbs of how they shouldn't pursue these things. And so we see, firstly, pleasure. Secondly, knowledge. Third, women, companionship. And then the fourth thing that Solomon pursued, which is glory. And we see that Solomon really pursued glory in many things. It is said that he built the house of God, the temple. The Solomon's temple was worth, in today's terms, $400 billion. And that is just a very little part of his entire wealth of Israel. Because he built the temple in 7 years, right? But then he built his own house in 14 years. And it's almost as if his house was even greater than the temple itself. And so imagine the wealth that Solomon had, the glory that Solomon had. And Solomon pursued all these things. But yet, at the end of it, he said that it is meaningless. And we have to examine why he says that. And so the reason why Solomon actually says this, if you turn back to Ecclesiastes chapter 2, is a very simple answer. It's because Solomon knew that all these things that he had in his life, whether it's pleasure, whether it's knowledge, whether it is companionship, people loving me, I loving people, or whether it is even in having glory, building things for myself, making fame, making an influence for myself, he knew all these things were meaningless because they were not done to God's glory. And that is the key thing that Solomon realized, that if I do not fear God and if I do not put God first in these things, I will not find meaning in these things. And so a contrast to what we see in Ecclesiastes chapter 2 can actually be found in Luke chapter 12. And this is something which is said by Jesus Christ for us. And in Luke chapter 12, we find a huge contrast to what Solomon's life actually was. And in Luke 12, it says in... Jack, can you help with the screen? Yeah, thank you. Oh, verses. Okay. Luke chapter 12, let's turn to verse 23. So Jesus Christ in Luke chapter 12 here, he gives a very different opinion of what Solomon has done in terms of pursuing all these things, the four things here. And in Luke 12, in verse 23 here, it says, "The life is more than meat, and the body is more than raiment." And what it says here is very simple, that within us we have a soul, within us we have something that will live forever. And this thing is more than meat, which is more than what we eat today, which is more than what we put on. And what we eat and what we put on can be also the same as what we talked about earlier, pleasure, knowledge, pursuing glory, pursuing companionship. All these things, they are good things, right? They are not bad things in our lives. In a way that food and raiment, these are not bad things in our lives. But then our hearts, our eternal souls are more important than these food and raiment in our lives. And then in verse 27 of this same chapter of Luke chapter 12, it says here that consider the lilies, how they grow. They toil not, they spin not. And yet I say unto you that Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. And what Jesus Christ here says is very simple, is that you today, you shouldn't pursue all these things. You know, these things are important for our lives, important for us to live here on earth. But we should not be pursuing them for our own selves. Because if we look at even the lilies on the ground, these lilies which are more insignificant than us today as human beings, you consider how they grow. Consider how they are given sunlight by God. Consider how they are given nutrients from the ground by God itself. And yet he says unto them that Solomon in all his glory, Solomon in, with all his houses, $400 billion spent on the temple, Solomon with all his knowledge, Solomon with all his desire to help people, pleasures in life, all these things cannot compare to that lily. And that is what Jesus Christ tells us today. That all these things that we have in our lives, even for ourselves today, if we pursue these things, they're not necessarily bad things in our life. They're not necessarily things which are evil. But when we put them in place of what we want to do for God and God's contentment in our lives, this is when we start to fall away. This is when we start to realize that life is meaningless. Why did I work so hard for these things? Why did I work so hard for pursuing this pleasure? Why did I work so hard pursuing knowledge? Why did I work so hard pursuing these things? If it's not in God's will, if it's not in God's timing, and if God doesn't give me the peace in my heart today. And so today you might ask yourself, what is the cure? What is the thing that we are supposed to pursue in life today? If we are not to pursue pleasure, if we are not to pursue knowledge, if we are not to pursue companionship, if we are not to pursue glory, what is it that we are to pursue in our lives today? Because that is what the world is telling us, right? In the advertisements in the world, everything in the world from young, we are told that we must study hard, that we must get a good job, that we must do this and do that in order to achieve all these things that we talked about that Solomon has said. But yet, we all know in our hearts that it's meaningless without this one thing, which is that it is meaningless without God in our lives. Because Mark 8, chapter 36 says that, what shall it profit a man if he should gain the whole world and lose his own soul? And today you might have all these things in your life. You might not be like Solomon. You know, you might not have everything that Solomon has. But it's not the extent, right? It's not how much we have today. But even if we, in our hearts, desire that and have the same desire as Solomon to pursue these things, that is enough. That is enough to draw us away from God. And that is enough to make us desire to gain the whole world and then lose our soul in return. And so that is the cure, which is that not that these things, the whole world is not bad. You know, this, all these raiment, the food, these things, they're not bad. But this is not the pursuit of it. We should not pursue these things. We should pursue God, and then all these things will be added unto us. Because you see also in Luke chapter 12, after verse 27, it says in verse 29. And in verse 29, it says, of Luke chapter 12, it says, and seek not ye what ye shall eat, or what ye shall drink, let it be of doubtful mind. And verse 30, it says here, for all these things do the nations of the world seek after. Because the world around us seeks after these things, pleasure, food and raiment, glory. But then it says here, and your Father knoweth that ye have need of these things. It's not that God doesn't know that we don't need these things. But consider, like, we are like the lilies, right? Does the lily toil in order, and does the lily worry about these things? No, it doesn't. And then it says in verse 31, but rather seek ye the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. And this here is the true cure for discontentment in our lives. If we are discontented with these things, we pursue these things. And the cure here is that if we seek the kingdom of God first in our lives, all these things will be added unto you. Whether it's food, it's raiment, whether it's anything that God sees and deems to be good enough for you, that is what God will eventually give to you. And so we see that if we turn back to Ecclesiastes chapter 2 again, Solomon actually ends it with a very interesting note, because it's as if he saw the light, but he saw the light a bit too late in his life, and then he looked back and said that, you know, I pursued after these things and it's all meaningless because God wasn't in the picture at all. And I was pursuing them just for my own pleasure. And pleasure itself is meaningless at the end of the day without God in sight. But then he also says in Ecclesiastes chapter 2, verse 24, it says here, there is nothing better for a man than that he should eat and drink, and that he should make his soul enjoy good in his labor. This also I saw that it was from the hand of God. And so Solomon really saw the light. He saw the light because he saw that it's not that these pleasures were bad, not that pursuing these things were bad. They are supposed to be in our lives, right? You know, when you have fame in your life, when God gives you fame, when God gives you influence, it's not a bad thing. When God gives you money, it is not a bad thing. And it's when you seek first the kingdom of God, these things will be added unto you. And that's where Solomon saw the light, because he realized that when I actually acknowledge and say that this is from the hand of God, and allow my soul to really enjoy the good in the labor that God has given to me, that is a key difference. And so today in our lives, we have this pleasures of life today. We have influence in our lives today upon our friends. We have companionship, right? And we also have knowledge in our lives today. We need knowledge, you know, and to actually live in this world, right? They're not bad things. But the key difference between how we lead our lives and say that it's meaningless, like how Solomon has said, or we actually be able to fulfill it and feel enjoyed and feel fulfilled in our lives, the key difference is whether God is in the picture. And so today, I ask you, if God is not in the picture today, you would feel that there is no contentment. You'll feel that there is a desire to just want more. You know, you have this car, and then you will think to yourself that my neighbor has a better car than me, and I want that car. Or maybe you just live in this house today, and then you look at your neighbor's house, and you realize that I want that house. That house is so much nicer than what I have. Or when you look at others on social media especially, right? Social media is a very powerful tool. It helps people to know more about your lives. But it also sometimes can be a tool where people feel jealous just by the things you have. And you might feel this discontentment in your heart. And so, how do we respond? Is when we have God in our hearts. When God tells us that therewith we have food and raiment, therewith to be content. And I just want to end with what I've said in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 8 to 10. And we can read this together, because this is really the cure in our lives for making sure our life will not be meaningless at the end of the day. And so let's turn to 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 8 to 10. So let's read verse 8 together. And having food and raiment, let us be therewith content. Yeah. So this is just the cure of it. After having God in our lives, if you're not a Christian, having God in your life, making sure that you have that peace from God in your life to make sure your life is not meaningless. And if today you are a Christian, if you today you have really have salvation in your heart and acknowledge that Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior, you too will feel the same thing, right? You too will feel the same desire to pursue after pleasure, glory. These things do not go away after you become a Christian. But what is the cure then? The cure is this verse here. And having food and raiment, let us be therewith content. That whatever God has given to us, we just be contented with these things. And just now Pastor Paul mentioned something which I think would be good to end this entire short message here, which is that when you look at other people and you look at other people with more things than you, people who may seem to have more pleasures in life than you, right? People who may have more knowledge than you in things, smarter, you know, more intelligent. People who may have more influence, more glory, more fame than you. People who may have more friends than you even, more companions in life. And you might be jealous of these things. But what you can do to make sure that you do not have these things in your life and make sure that you do not have the discontentment is to pray for them. It's to pray and thank God that God has blessed them in these things. And when you pray for them and pray that God has blessed them in these things, you'll find the discontentment in your heart goes away. Because where are you focused on now? You're focused on God. You realize that God is the one that gives these things, not I pursue them. God is one that has given them the glory. God is the one that has given them the knowledge and even the pleasures in their lives. God has given it to them. And you would find that this discontentment in your heart will go away. And if today you're not a Christian and you do not know Jesus Christ as your Savior, you'll realize that it is even worse than what Solomon has said here, that, you know, life is meaningless, life is full of vanity. And it's even worse than that, because Solomon only said this in this life. Solomon only said that life is meaningless after looking back, you know, his past 80 years of his life. But then, after Solomon died, where did he go? He go to heaven. And he went to heaven and he realized that there are pleasures forevermore there. And so Solomon still has that pleasure in life, and he still realized that life is not meaningless. He only said that life in this life is meaningless. But if you're not a Christian, it's even worse than what Solomon has felt, because you'd find that this life is meaningless. But not just this life is meaningless, but when you die, and everyone will die in this life, the statistics of death is 100%, right? Nobody escapes death. And then you realize that it will be meaningless even after death, because you'll go to a place without God. You'll go to a place where God is not there, and you'll find that there will be no peace in your heart in this life and in the next life. And that will be worse than what Solomon has felt. And so today, I urge you to come to know Jesus Christ if you have not, because Jesus Christ will give you the contentment in your heart today. And contentment is honestly better than anything that the world can actually give. Because if you pursue pleasure, if you pursue glory, there is no end, right? I just want more. And where does it stop? It doesn't stop. You just want it to be even greater than what other people have. And it will consume you. It will destroy you. And you will never have true peace in your heart. But if you want to have peace in heart today in this life, you can accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. And so I just want to pray, and I just want to say a sinner's prayer, and that I want everyone to say it with me. So I'm not sure if any of you here desire and truly want to come to Jesus Christ. And of course, I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand. It's something which is personal, something which I hope that if the Holy Spirit is talking to you today, that you would actually come to Him. So, not to make things awkward, so everyone is going to say it together. Okay, so let us pray, and then we can repeat after me.